Hello and welcome to our program Southern Living, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Shama Kapasi, and during the next half hour I will be reading articles from the Southern Living Big Fall Double issue, and this is from September 2022 here on OWL Radio. Well, thank you for joining us, and I would love to start this program by reading the letter from the editor, and we'll start with that, followed by the Grumpy Gardener, and there are some other articles in here about homes and travel planning through the South, some Needlepoint Next acts, and so we'll start from there. Well, let's start with the letter from the editor, Sid Evans. The meaning of Southernness. We all define it differently, but the message is the same. What does it mean to you to be Southern? That's a question I've been asked at the end of interviews on our Biscuits and Jam podcast, which I've been hosting since we launched it in June 2020. We started it as a new way to talk to musicians, chefs, and other prominent people about food, family, and traditions, and to hear the stories that they don't often share. Willie Nelson told me about the first time he met Patsy Cline, thanks to an encounter with her husband at Tootsie Orchid Lounge in Nashville. Gladys Knight talked about how her aunts and uncles always sang while they cooked. John Batiste went on about his mother's famous red beans and rice. And Harry Connick Jr. gave me one of his favorite poor boy orders. But what I enjoy most is hearing about their Southern identity and how every guest describes it in a different way. Here are a few answers I got recently. Amy Grant: to be Southern means to have spent a lot of your childhood barefoot. To be Southern is a table with extra places set. To be Southern is talking slower and telling stories. Valerie June: it's resilience, strength, power, and inspiration. It's appreciation, gratitude, and humility. You're born with a story when you're Southern. You're born with a song. Carly Pierce: it means to tell it like it is, to not shy away from your truth, to keep your fire but remain classy while doing it. Danica Hart: being Southern is the highest honor to me. It's the warm-heartedness. You don't meet a stranger. Being from the South gives you a spark for life. Trisha Yearwood: in the South, there's such an encouragement to gather. We have a family reunion every time you turn around, and that's where the sharing of stories and recipes all comes from. Alton Brown: we are haunted. We're spiritual, we're sinners and saints. We're drunkards and preachers. We create astoundingly soulful pieces of art, astoundingly soulful music. Of course, being Southern is what this magazine is all about. To Rick Bragg, it's our meat and threes, like Johnny's Restaurant in Birmingham, an establishment where it may be hard to get a table, but it's never hard to get a good meal. Meat and Threes, for Patty Ginnick, host of Patty's Mexican Table on PBS, it's about the true roots and flavors of Tex-Mex cuisine. And to Lisa Caldwell and her daughter and business partner, Lauren: it means celebrating game days and tailgating in style. For country star Kane Brown, it's about his sheriff grandmother. No matter how people define it, I'll never get tired of hearing the answers. What's yours? All right. Well, the next article I'd like to look at with you, dear readers, is Neutral Ground. So there's a lot of brown in the fall, acknowledges Vanna. To make the ubiquitous hue feel special and interesting in her arrangement, she relied on a mixture of textures, smooth pears and pumpkins, plus fluffy moss-covered sticks and bunny tall grass liven up the dried elements like the pine cones, corn husks, cinnamon sticks, and hydrangeas. A footed terracotta container underscores the natural casualness of the centerpiece, which is designed to last for weeks. None of the things in this vessel need water, so it can sit a long time and be fine, said the designer. Lovely. And here's a party playbook in season. Emily Allen is owner of the online home goods store Boutique Hammett and dishes up two festive table settings. And her suggestion is the Supper Club Soiree. The occasion, it's your turn to host and you're ready to impress. And in a no makeup, okay, some makeup kind of way, the key is finding the right balance. It's about dressing things up without being too formal and stuffy, said Alan. The palette is teal. For fall, summer may stake a claim to the ocean hue, but strategic styling can make it an all-season color. Complementing it with the right flowers and with darker shades makes it work anytime, she explains. And the southern touch. Every table needs a conversation starter, whether it is a set of plates with artisanal flair or your mama's butter dish. Even if it's not something you pulled out of your grandmother's closet, having a handmade quality makes it more special, says Alan. And the styling trick. Always layer, whether with texture or color, she says. Her linen is a backdrop for hand-painted ceramic plates and macrame napkins. So if you're on the game day brunch, the occasion, it's a Saturday in the South and kickoff is nearby. Gather your crew for some pre-game noshing, but save the chips and dip for later. We kept it casual but a little elevated because it is a brunch, says Alan. This isn't a typical tailgate. The palette she chose was soft tones of red and green as a starting point, pairing them with autumnal browns in the tortoiseshell glasses and plaid tablecloth. It all takes a totally different look. And the southern touch in all is all the prints. Your grandmother probably had a checkered tablecloth and floral china, so the combination of these two patterns make it seem especially homey. The styling trick, people often feel like they need to match everything, Alan says. But displaying your heirlooms with unexpected items makes it so much more fun. All right, this next section is in Southern Maker. A Sarasota, Florida potter looks to the past and around the globe to inform her beautifully functional terracotta wares by Marissa Spiker. Watching Osa Ato at the potter's wheel in her breezy coastal studio, throwing clay to make delicate forms into stunning works of art. It's hard to imagine her former life as a musician in punk bands, but Atto credits her edgier brand of artistry for her success. My philosophy as a punk performer was that it's okay to make things that aren't perfect, she says. It was less about technique, and I think having that background helped me live in the moment with pottery, rather than focusing on creative objects that were pretty. Ask any of Atto's admirers today, and they will let you know. They'll tell you pretty, or rather stunning, must be the byproduct of her laid-back approach. 9 years after claiming her spot at the wheel on a whim, with no intention of ever taking it beyond a hobby, she now has a blossoming career and has accumulated a bevy of Instagram followers at Pottery by Yosa, making rich terracotta vessels doused in hand-mixed glazes from her garage studio in Sarasota, Florida. Atto has found a niche for herself, selling practical food-safe wares from coffee mugs and pitchers to butter dishes. I describe my work as functional but decorative, she says. It's important that everything I make can be used and can fit into anyone's home. Much more than utilitarian, Atto's work has flourished thanks to her distinctive signature style, one that developed organically but not entirely by accident. As the child of Nigerian immigrants, Atto wasn't surprised when she found herself drawn to the earth pigment of terracotta, a departure from the white clay used by many modern ceramists. Looking at the land in Nigeria and the legacy of pottery there in general, it's all red clay, she explains. While West African influences certainly find their way into her art, Atto refuses to pigeonhole herself. Instead, she says her inspiration spans across the globe, from the meticulous hand carvings of Bronze Age European sculptures to the rugged combination of raw and glazed surfacing found in Native American pottery. For Atto, who grew up outside Washington, D.C., it's a melting pot of international influences that feels more than anything like home. Our lives as Americans are impacted by so many diverse cultural elements, from the food we eat to the music we listen to, she says. So I feel like I'm actually making work that's very American. Those days, Atto's business successes. These days, Atto's business successes, her monthly collection usually sell out, allows her to focus her attention on the creative process of the creative Excuse me, these days, Atto's business success allows her to focus her attention on the creative process. She even dabbles in other techniques like the practice of barrel firing, in which pieces are torched in steel barrels to yield a more rough-hewn aesthetic. Still, the artist has no plans of abandoning the pretty her work. Excuse me, the pretty that becomes synonymous with her work. With pink, I spent so much time making music for a small subset of people, she says. With pottery, my hope is to be more expansive. That's how I see my work operating, bridging gaps, and having a more universal approach. Okay, so that's Miss that's Southern pottery making. So, the next thing I'd like to kind of cover briefly is In Season. It's Bounty. It's the muscadine magic. The Southeast native grape is in its prime right now, which is fall. Enjoy its scoop by Frosty Scoop this season by Lisa Caricola. So, to make muscadine sorbet, you cook 1 cup water and 1/2 cup of granulated sugar in a medium saucepan over medium heat, whisking often until dissolved 2 to 3 minutes. Remove from heat. Process 8 cups or 32 ounces of muscadines in a blender until almost smooth. 15 to 30 seconds, pour through a fine mesh strainer into a large bowl, pressing on solids to yield 2 cups juice. Discard the solids. Whisk the sugar mixture and 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice into a muscadine juice. Chill, uncovered until cold, 2 hours. Pour mixture into freezer bowl of 1/2 quart electric ice cream maker. Proceed according to the manufacturer's instructions and transfer the mixture to an airtight freezer safe container. Freeze at least 4 hours or up to a month. There you go. So there's 2 types of different grapes. There's the muscadine, which are large, round, thick-skinned, and very sweet. These grapes come in shades ranging from black to green gold. Vines grow wild throughout the Southeast and also on farms bearing fruit from late summer to early fall. And the other one is Chupernong. Yes, Chupernong. This bronze-skinned muscadine is North Carolina's official state fruit. Slightly acidic in flavor. The grapes are tasty, eaten out of hand, and often used to make jelly. Okay, the next story I want to read is called Tastemakers, All in the Family. Our 2022 New Southern Tastemakers are defined by entrepreneurial spirit that, like heirloom silver and handwritten recipes, was lovingly passed down from one generation to the next. This year, we are celebrating three family businesses across the South that foster community by Betsy Cribb. Lisa Cadwell and Lauren Cadwell Lee from the Cadwell Collection in Kernersville, North Carolina, and Houston, Texas. Lisa Cadwell and Laurel Cadwell Lee come by their love of the University of North Carolina Tar Heels, honestly. Not only were Lauren and I both Carolina cheerleaders, but my husband and son were also football players there, says Caldwell. We bleed Carolina blue. But the diehard fans couldn't find stylish clothes in their team's shade, so they launched the Caldwell Collection, a line of flattering silhouettes in collegiate-friendly sky blue as well as red. They also come by their love of fashion, honestly. I had two sisters who wore larger sizes back when stores did not sell plus size clothes, so my mom and I made everything, said Caldwell. Leah attributes her style savvy to her grandmother, too. My mom's mom was a boutique owner in North Carolina in the 80s, she says. I remember hiding underneath wedding gowns. My mom and I have always had the background of creativity in fashion. The timing of the Caldwell Collection April 2020 debut was not ideal, given that the coronavirus pandemic kept fans at home. Even so, Caldwell and Leah made the most of it, hosting virtual fashion shows to start building a fan base for her. Even so, Caldwell and Leah made the most of it, hosting virtual fashion shows to start building a fan base of their own. Now that stadiums are once again filled with people, they're optimistic about growing their line to include more team colors. Here in the South, game day is an experience, said Leah. It's not just a football or baseball game. It's an event, and you come dressed to the nines. I'm excited for us to be part of that. But for mother and daughter duo, it's more than school spirit. We're really proud that we are a Black-owned, women-owned, family-owned business, which is incredibly rare, says Leah. We don't take that lightly. We love to talk to other minority business owners and tell them our story and offer any kind of support or advice we can get. Shops and restaurants tend to come and go on downtown Charleston's King Street, but the Krogan's Jewel Box is as much a part of the topography as the palmetto trees and church steeples. Shops and restaurants tend to come and go downtown Charleston's King Street, but Croghan's Jewel Box is as much a part of the topography as the palmetto trees and church steeples. Opened around 1907 in an 18th century single house, the shop is now run by the third and fourth generation of the Croghan family, sisters Mariana Hay and Rhett Uten, and Hay's daughters Kathleen Hay Hagwood and Mariana Minnie Hay Avant. On her first day on the job, Hay learned Croghan's approach to customer service. "My mom said, take these three bracelets to the back door of the hospital. Dr. So-and-so is operating, but he'll come out and pick one. You'll bring it back, wrap it up, and then take it to him," she recalls laughing. Years later, this extra mile mentality is still engraved in the Croghan's echoes. They're reaching the next generation too, thanks to the Gold Bug Collection, a cheeky line of affordable jewelry inspired by the palmetto bug, in less pleasant terms, a cockroach, and developed by Avant and Hagwood. Instead of us being this stalled old jewelry store that was a bit intimidating, the Gold Bug Collection brought young people who could come in and buy cockroach earrings, says Hayes. They've also taken care to remain relevant in a changing retail landscape. When Owen moved back to Charleston in 2009, she set to work establishing the shop's online presence. Now their Instagram has around 44,000 followers from all over the country. "Social media puts you in touch with your people," says Uten. "When COVID came around and we had to close the brick and mortar store, we still had a direct line to our customers, and that makes all the difference." But for the Croghan's crew, there's no greater joy than someone coming into their King Street shop in search of a silver baby rattle or an engagement ring. "A lot of things change," Uten says, "but a lot of things do not." And the last tastemakers I would like to talk about are Sweet Talkers, Andrea Pedraza and Cindy Pedraza Puente. Cocandre Chocolatier in Dallas, Texas. Andrea Pedraza and her daughter Cindy Pedraza Puente know better than most the dreams sometimes come true in unexpected ways. After losing their jobs during the Great Recession and with less than $1,000 to invest, the pair took Andrea's 25 years of experience as a chocolatier and Cindy's business know-how and opened their own candy shop in the Oak Cliff neighborhood of Dallas. 13 years later, Coco Andre Chocolatier has become a destination for handcrafted truffles in globally inspired flavors like dulce de leche and Turkish coffee, dairy-free bars and horchata. "The flavors come from my memories and my environment, what I see every day and what I grew up with," says Pedraza, who's originally from Mexico. "We have people who will buy a chocolate specifically because it reminds them of their grandmother or something that their mom said," says Puente. Beyond churning out nostalgic sweets, their little white house turned chocolate shop and cafe has become a local gathering place. "Once a month, we have a market to share this space with new businesses, and seeing all these families with their children shopping and drinking horchata feels good. It is this strong tie to the Oak Cliff community and to each other that makes Coco Andre so special," notes Puente. "To me, small businesses are the bread and butter of your neighborhood," she says. "They make you feel at home and know your name." And that is that. So, you have been listening to Southern Living on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Shama saying goodbye from Owl Radio.